Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word says, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So this week, we're going to read a passage out of Joshua chapter 20, and we're going to be talking about the city of refuge, where they would go to take refuge if they were to kill someone on accident without intent or unknowingly. So let's read in verse 1 here. It says, then Yahweh said to Joshua, say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of that city. Then they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, then they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. And he shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled. So as we are reading through the book of Joshua, we've gotten to this point. What we've read before is how the children of Israel have gone into the land. They have conquered the land. They have now divided the land up according to the tribes, according to their allotment. And now upon the land being divided up, we see here that Israel is setting up. Yahweh commands to Joshua for them to set up the cities of refuge, something that was taught to them in the Torah through Moses while in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. Okay, so they are now putting to use that which they were told to do. Now, the cities of refuge was meant to be for a person who killed someone without intent, without anger in the past. So to any person who killed someone with intent or in anger, that person was still to be held accountable for what they did. And of course, that would be that they would be put to death for the murder of someone else. But to the one who does it by accident, that person, they don't get off scot-free. As you can see here, they do have to go to the city of refuge. They do have to plead their case. It does have to be found that they acted in innocence or by accident, and that it was not with intent, that it was without intent. And upon that, they were able to take safe harbor inside the city of refuge, or they're able to take refuge within that city from the avenger who would come to seek their blood for killing their relative. Now, it's interesting that we see here in this passage and in this instruction is that person was to be in judgment. So they're separated from their family, and they are to be in this city separated from their family, living in judgment until the death of the high priest. So this is another example of the Torah speaking of what Yeshua would do for us. Now, we have not all killed someone without intent, but we have all sinned and we have all disobeyed his commands. And thus, because of that, we were locked up in judgment in our sin, deserving death. We were separated from God. So just as the person who took refuge in the city was separated from their family, we were separated from God. Now the one who is still an unbeliever still is separated. So to this person who took refuge in this city, this person is waiting for the time for the high priest to die so that they could be released from their judgment. Well, Yeshua was our high priest and is our high priest. And when he died upon that cross for us as our high priest, he released us from the judgment of our sin. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that is before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. So here in this passage, I first want to talk about this fact that it talks about how Yeshua was despised and rejected by men. So we think about this idea, this person who had to take refuge, the manslayer, who had to take refuge in the city. This person was despised and rejected. He was separated from his life, from his home, to go live in a foreign city, away from those he knew, to take refuge, to take shelter from the act he committed without intent. Okay, so Yeshua knows what it's like for that person who had to take refuge. He knows what it's like for us to be despised and rejected by men. He knows what it's like to face rejection. He knows what it's like to be hated by men. He knows what it's like to have sorrow and grief. He, our high priest, can sympathize with us. He knows what we're going through. There's nothing that we face on this earth that he has not felt and dealt with. He can sympathize with us with where we are. And he was despised and he was rejected by men, so that those who were despised and are rejected can be accepted by God. The only way to be received by God, to come in right standing with God and to have peace again with God, is through the blood of Yeshua. Our high priest had to die in order for us to have peace with God again. Our sin put us in a place where we were at war. You could say we were at strife with God. We were an enemy of God. When we walk in our flesh, we walk as an enemy unto God. When we walk in obedience to his word, we walk as a friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God, and he walked in the commandments of God. We have verses that back that up, that Abraham and his family walked in the Torah, or the laws of God. So Abraham, even though he had faith, also had obedience. His faith produced obedience. See, sin puts us captive, and we're held captive to sin. We're held captive to the desires of our flesh and the longings of our flesh. And it rules over us and it puts us at war against God. So Yeshua, our high priest, had to come, and it was God's plan for him to die on that cross for us so that we would no longer be an enemy of God, but we could be a friend of God. And by our faith, we can receive the forgiveness of our sins, and we can be in right standing with God, and we can have peace with God because Yeshua was despised and rejected by men, and he bore our grief and our sorrows. He was afflicted and stricken on our behalf. He was pierced for our sins. All of our sins was put upon him when he was put upon that cross. And so we now have peace with God. And now that we have peace with God, we need to walk as one who is free. No longer walking as one who is enslaved unto our flesh and sin. Our belief in Yeshua is not an excuse to continue in sin, but our belief in Yeshua should produce obedience in our life to his commands and to his Torah, to the instructions he has given us. His Torah is simply him telling us how to love him, because he wants to be loved in set apartness. He wants to be loved and worshiped, not like the nations worship their gods. He is set apart. We worship him in set apartness, unlike how the world worships their gods. His Torah instructs us on how to love people properly. So when we focus upon loving God and loving people, yes, the Torah follows, but the Torah gives us the instructions on how to do that. We don't, in our minds, determine what is right and do what's right in our own eyes and worship him and love people according to our way, our standard, and according to how we desire to do it and what seems right in our own eyes. But we do it based upon the instructions and the standard that he has set. So just as that manslayer was looking and longing for the death of the high priest, it was preaching a message unto Israel to long for and to look forward to the day that Yeshua, our high priest, would die upon that cross for their sins. It was preaching unto them a message for them to look forward to that day when they would be set free of the judgment of their sin by Yeshua, their high priest, dying for them. Let's look at Luke 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" So here we see Yeshua proclaiming himself to be the Messiah, to be that high priest. As he read the scripture from Isaiah, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord," or "the Spirit of Yahweh, is upon me. He has appointed me to proclaim the good news. He has anointed me to come and to preach to those who are locked up in their judgment from sin. To come and proclaim liberty to those who are locked up in their sin." so they can receive a release of the bondage and the judgment that they have because of their sin. That was why he came. That was his purpose, was to come to this earth and to set us free from our sin, so that we would no longer be held captive to our sin. Now, that is twofold. Number one, to set us free from the penalty of our sin. Because to those who have sinned and have not received Yeshua as their Savior, they will receive eternal judgment. Now, to those who believe, eternal life. Now, also, he came to set us free from the captive of sin, as in we are no longer called to be a servant of sin. No longer is sin our master. No longer does it rule over us. No longer are we held captive to the desires of our flesh. But we now have his Spirit living inside of us that gives us the power and the ability and the love to want to walk in obedience to his commandments, to want to walk in his righteousness. Our belief in Yeshua should produce an obedience to his word. So he has set us free from both the penalty of our sin and from the fact that sin rules over us and holds us captive, and now we are free to walk in obedience to his righteousness. You will never be able to walk in obedience to his righteousness and to his Torah if you have not first been washed by the blood of Yeshua. You will fail every single time. Let's look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 1 and see what Paul says about this. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives, meaning that as long as a person lives, he is held under the power of that law. When you are a lawbreaker and you're walking according to the lust of your flesh is at war with the law. Your flesh will come up and look for reasons not to walk in obedience to his word or his Torah or law. It wants to fight against it. That is our fleshly nature. Anything inside of you that would oppose or object to his Torah is of your flesh. And so to those who are under the power of the law, it's those who are held captive by their flesh. They're held captive by their sin. Who is at war with the law? And so the law is binding on that person. The judgment of that law is binding on that person. Verse 2, for a married person is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she leaves with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Messiah, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit from God. So we have been set free from the judgment of the law, from the death of Yeshua. So just as when the husband dies, the wife is free from being bound to her husband. Okay? So we were bound to the Torah. We were bound to the law. We were bound to the judgment that was coming because of our disobedience. We were bound as in the fact that we were enslaved to our flesh. But through the death of Yeshua, the Torah has no more power over us, as in the fact that sin has no more power over us. The judgment no longer has power over us. We can't make the Torah the enemy here, because later on in this chapter, Paul goes on to say that the law, the Torah, is righteous, it's spiritual, it's holy, it's good. So he's not speaking out of both sides of his mouth in this chapter. So he's not talking about the fact that we are free from having to obey the Torah. It's the fact that we are free from the fact that our flesh is rebelling against the Torah and is kicking against it and wanting to do its own thing. And because of that, we are being held under judgment by the Torah because we're not doing that which is right. We're doing that which is wicked. So he has set us free from that. Let's look at verse 5. For while we were living in the flesh, which you would say is disobedience to his Torah, okay, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So the law just provoked our flesh to want to disobey it more, to walk in more sin. So what we were working in our members was fruits for death, eternal judgment. Okay, that is what we were held captive by, our flesh. And all the law did was encourage the flesh to want to rebel more. But see, something different happens when we put our belief in Yeshua and he circumcises our hearts and he puts his spirit inside of us. Now that flesh that was rebelling against his law, now we have this spirit at work inside of us that has a desire to walk in his righteousness, that has a desire to walk in obedience. And so now we have this spirit inside of us that wants to walk in obedience, and we still have this fleshly nature that wants to rebel against his Torah. And now every day, our spirit man is fighting against our flesh. But because what Yeshua has done upon that cross, number one, his spirit is living inside of us, giving us that desire and the power to fight that battle. He has also given us the power to win that battle, to walk in righteousness, to overcome the temptations of our flesh. So look at verse 6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. So we have been released from this war that's going on. We're released from this flesh that is holding us bondage, that is rebelling against his Torah. We're released from that. And we are now to consider ourselves dead to that which held us captive. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin. So when the flesh tempts us and rises up against his Torah, we now are to consider ourselves dead to that temptation. We don't give in to that temptation. It has no hold on us, okay? And we serve in a new way of spirit, not in written code. That doesn't mean we do not follow the written Torah. It means that his spirit comes inside of us. His spirit writes his Torah upon our hearts. His spirit leads us and guides us and teaches us on how to walk in obedience to the written Torah. Because the written Torah is righteous, it's good, it's holy. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 23 and verse 11. So as I'm talking about, so we are now walking in this new life, no longer walking according to our flesh, because we have been set free by our high priest. We are now walking in obedience. We are now transforming our lives to look like Yeshua, to walk just as he walked. And we accomplish that by learning how to walk in obedience to his word. And we're rejecting the idea of being conformed unto the world. So as we're striving to walk as this new creature, this new person, this new man or woman in God, which we accomplish through obedience to his word, we are walking in his freedom. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 23 and verse 11. Be very careful, therefore, to love Yahweh your God, For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, and know for certain that Yahweh your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they will be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and a thorn in your eyes, until you perish from all this good ground that Yahweh your God has given you. So Israel has inherited the land. They're in the land now. There are still remnant of the people and the nations among them. Some of them are there because they were tricked and fooled by them. We talked about that in last week's teaching. Okay, he instructs them, do not associate with them and do not marriage with them, because if you do, they will be a snare to you. They will be a thorn in your eyes, a whip on your side, meaning they will pull you out of covenant with me. If you associate with them, if you get involved with them, you will forget me as your God. You will forget my ways, and you will begin to walk in their ways and in their customs, and you will reject me. So the one who has set you free, you will reject. And because you reject me, I will now kick you out the land. We're going to get to that. Okay. So that's something to think about on our end. We have been set free from our high priest. We have been brought out of judgment. Now, what are we to do? Don't associate with those who would cause you to break covenant with your God. We need to be careful of that. We need to be on guard for that. Let's look at verse 14. Now, therefore, fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve Yahweh. So one of the last things that Joshua tells the children of Israel, and one of the last things we read in the book of Joshua, is this right here. Now fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. To fear Yahweh is to obey him. Remember, when Abraham passed the test with his son Isaac and he was willing to be obedient even unto sacrificing his son, Yahweh's response was, now I know ye fear me. If we fear him, we will obey him. And we are to do that in sincerity, in all truth, with all of our heart and faithfulness. That means not wavering, steady. And put away the gods of your fathers. So put away the things that are in your life that does not line up with my word, that does not line up with my Torah. Put those things aside. Put away the gods of the nations. Put away the ways of the nations. Put away the idea of being conformed unto this world. Put away the idea of talking like the world, acting like the world, and blending in with the world. Put that away and serve Yahweh. Be set apart as he is set apart. That is why he has set us free. It's so that we can walk in set apartness and we can be set apart just as he is set apart. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So we hope you come back and join us. So come back now and shalom, y'all.